be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Now I am going to the one who sent me, and yet not one of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I told you this, grief has filled your hearts. But I tell you the truth, it is better that I should go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and condemnation. Sin, because they do not believe in me. Righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you'll no longer see me. And condemnation, because the ruler of this world has been condemned." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, Jesus says his most astonishing line in all of Sacred Scripture. "Truly I tell you, it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Advocate will not come to you, but if I go, I shall send him to you." In other words, Jesus is saying, if it comes down to a choice between me and the Holy Spirit's more important. A great gift that we have as Catholics is that we don't have to choose between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. We can have both, together with God the Father. But we shouldn't miss the point here. The point is how important the Holy Spirit is. That Jesus, the Word incarnate, the truth in flesh, tells us that the Holy Spirit in our life is even more important than Jesus, if we had to choose between the two. And that is something most Catholics don't grasp. It is a scene we'll catch a little bit later in the Acts of the Apostles, when St. Paul arrives in Ephesus and he meets the Christians and he asks, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized?" And their response was, "We never even knew that there was a Holy Spirit." There are many Catholics who know about the Spirit but don't really know the Holy Spirit. And as we get ready, beginning this Thursday, for the Decennarium of the Holy Spirit, it is really important for us to allow this greater gift to become ever more ours. Pope Benedict, when he went to Australia in 2008 for World Youth Day, described the Holy Spirit as God's greatest gift, highest gift to mankind. He described that when he was a young priest and already a professor, he came to the conclusion that he barely knew the Holy Spirit. He could teach whole dogmatic courses about the Holy Spirit, but he didn't really know him personally. And he said it was at that time that he received an incredible grace in order to allow his life to be transformed by this third person, the Holy Spirit. And many of us are like Joseph Ratzinger. We know about the Holy Spirit. We don't yet know him. We're not really known by him. We don't really give him the total docility that he would like, because we don't know really that he continues to blow whither he wills, just like these fans are blowing on this hot, humid day in Manhattan. How's the Holy Spirit supposed to change our life? We can categorize in three different ways. First, he changes our life in how we pray. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "We don't know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit has been poured into our hearts so that we can cry out,
'Father,
Daddy,' right?" And Father Nero Cantalamessa says that the Holy Spirit doesn't help us to pray by putting words on our lips, but by changing who we are as we pray, so that we can confidently cry out as beloved sons and daughters, knowing that our Father will never give us a stone when he asks for bread, or a poisonous eel when we ask for a fish. The Holy Spirit changes us as we pray. We see an illustration of that in today's first reading. Paul and Silas are imprisoned. They have just been beaten to a pulp with rods. Why? Because they had cast out a demon from a little girl in Philippi who was running around telling everybody, "These are the messengers of God Most High. These are the messengers of God Most High." But this girl, because of her demon, was very lucrative to her slave owners, because she was able basically to be an ancient fortune teller and by the power of the devil get it right. Because of their economic interests now going up in smoke, they got all the residents of Philippi to come together and to take out those rods and not only pulverize Paul and Silas, but to have them imprisoned. You see how they were imprisoned. They were put in the innermost prison cell and their limbs were shackled. All of this for the gospel. It would have been easy for them to complain. After all, we complain for much less than that. But what was their response? About midnight, while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God as the prisoners listened, with joy. We don't sing when we're upset. With joy, they were singing to God. They knew that nothing could separate them from the love of the Father. They knew because of the power of the Holy Spirit right there. And we know what happens when you really pray to the Holy Spirit. We saw it in the little Pentecost earlier in the Acts of the Apostles. When you're really praying with the Holy Spirit, things shake. You know, the upper room shook when the apostles were praying that they not be removed from a situation of persecution, but that in that very situation they would be given the grace to proclaim the gospel with total parousia, total boldness. That's when the Holy Spirit shook as a response. And here they were praying with that great boldness. The Holy Spirit shook that different upper room, that prison cell, to such a degree that their shackles were broken and the doors were wide open. That's the way the Holy Spirit changes us as we pray, that even in the midst of humanly terrifying circumstances, we don't lose the sense of our divine filiation. Second way the Holy Spirit helps us is in our proclamation of the gospel. Jesus said throughout this Easter season that He will testify to me and you also will testify. That our testimony always happens in tandem with God the Holy Spirit. He would tell us elsewhere, when they drag you into prisons, when they drag you before governors and synagogue officials, don't worry about what you are to say. Since in that moment you will be given what you are to say, because the one who will be speaking will be the Spirit of my Father. That it's precisely the Holy Spirit who helps us to give witness. He helps us first by reminding us of all that Jesus taught us and leading us into all truth. He gives us tongues of fire so that we can proclaim that gospel with ardor, with a heart on fire. And He's also working simultaneously in the ears of the hearts of those to whom we're speaking to open them up to receive that word on good soil. We see the dramatic change that happened in the apostles because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost Sunday, they left the upper room where 53 days before they had exited in order to deny the Lord as cowards running away. On the day of Pentecost, they left that same place, these same people, and they proclaimed fearlessly. Holy Spirit has the ability to work a miraculous metamorphosis in us in the proclamation of the faith, changing us from apostates to apostles, from cowards to courageous heralds, from chickens to shepherds. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We see how the Holy Spirit helps the apostles even here. When this guard, because of the Roman law, that even if there were an earthquake and people were to escape for no fault of your own, if the prisoners escaped, you had to suffer the penalty that was due to them, and an escaped prisoner had the death penalty. So he was just instead of letting somebody else do it to him, what was inevitable, he unsheathed his sword and he was going to commit suicide. But Paul shouted out with a loud voice, shouted out in a way that this man would be able to hear by the power of the Holy Spirit, "Do no harm to yourself. We're all here." When this man with a light rushed in and trembling with fear fell down before Paul and Silas, because he knew that what had just happened wasn't a geological coincidence, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul kept it very simple for this simple man. "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your household will be saved." This man was brought to baptism. In that baptism, he and his family all received the outpouring of the Holy Spirit when they became believers. We never need to fear what we're going to say when the phone rings. It's a frightened woman on the other side. We might not have the words that are adequate to a circumstance, but God does have the words. God knows the entire person's history. Some of the times He'll speak even through our compassionate silence. But the Holy Spirit totally changes us. It's better for Christ to ascend to the Father and the Holy Spirit come, because it's the Holy Spirit who's the greatest help in your visitation mission. And your mission will grow and become even more helpful and effective the more you give the Holy Spirit permission. Third way, the Holy Spirit is the greatest gift to mankind. It's because He helps us to live totally differently. St. Paul, in his letters to the Galatians and the Romans, contrasts life according to the Spirit with life according to the flesh. He says we can't have it both ways. It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to mortify or to put to death the things of the flesh so that we can live for the things of the Spirit, to set our minds on the things of the Spirit, to seek from our heart the things that are above. How much we need that life according to the Holy Spirit. We see how the Holy Spirit can change us in the heralded gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we need every day of our Christian life. But for so many of us, including priests and religious, remain seven unopened gifts underneath the perpetual Christmas tree. How much we need the gift of wisdom to see everything the way God sees it, including our difficulties. How much we need the gift of prudence to order all our choices toward God and to help others to order their choices toward God. How much you need both every time you're counseling a woman. How much we need that gift of knowledge, the Holy Spirit's help to remember all that Jesus taught us. How much you need the gift of understanding, to see how all those truths fit together and how we're inserted in the middle. How much we need the gift of reverence, so that when we look at anybody, somebody who might be in very difficult circumstances, perhaps even a family member who's particularly in need of prayer, we're able to see the image of God in them. How much we need the gift of reverence to see God here in prayer. How much we need the gift of reverence to become a real sacrament of the sacred in the middle of the world. Awe of the Lord. That we would never want to displease the Lord in the least way. That leads us to do reparation rather than to complain or criticize whenever we see an action done that could possibly offend the Lord, or especially when we do. And the gift of courage to help us to confront and overcome our fears, because the Holy Spirit reminds us that not even crucifixion can stop us, because it couldn't stop Jesus either. These gifts of the Holy Spirit are the ways in which the Holy Spirit wants to help us every day to transform our lives so that we might live differently. And when we do, everything changes, because the gifts of the Spirit lead to the fruit of the Spirit. And how much our life would be different if somebody could predicate of us that we're full of love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, fidelity, self-mastery. The Holy Spirit wants to give us that fruit and it's here for the taking. We see that type of life in St. Paul, who was able to rejoice even in his sufferings, who was able to say, it's no longer even I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And that Christ-like life was the fruit of the conformity that comes when the Holy Spirit is given permission to do his thing. Down under, Pope Benedict finished one of his homilies to the young people of the world by saying, every Mass participates in the perpetual Pentecost, when the same Holy Spirit who came down upon Mary and overshadowed her entire life, the same Holy Spirit who in the mystery of the Visitation allowed Elizabeth to exclaim, Mother of my Lord, that same Holy Spirit hovers over the priest in the altar to change bread and wine into the eternal Son of God. And that same Holy Spirit hovers over us to change us into one body, one spirit in Christ. Jesus tells us, it's better for you that I go, because if I go, I will send him to you. Let us ask Jesus to give us the gift. And as he sends this highest gift of humankind to us, that he might likewise give us full receptivity, so that the Holy Spirit might do in us what he did to the apostles on Pentecost, what he did to Paul and Silas, what he's done to so many saints, so that we, in cooperating with him, can light the world ablaze. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.